Thank you for joining us on History FM Radio on LiveParanormal.com and History FM. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by full interactive media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.
Take it away, deep voice guy.
The opinions, viewpoints, and beliefs presented on this program do not necessarily reflect those of the management.
Yeah, but they should.
The affiliates and broadcast partners or the sponsors.
Did we leave anybody out?
Listener discretion is advised. Between science and ignorance, there is filler. Paranormal filler.
Wow, that was overdone.
Between science and ignorance, there is filler.
Everyone, and welcome to the show. I'm Wes Forsythe, the host of Paranormal Filler, and tonight, as far as hosts go, I'm flying solo. This is the fifth Sunday, so I don't have a lovely co-host to join me tonight. I actually asked a couple of dudes to come on, but famous type people, and they were busy, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, I just want to say, for the record, I am so freaking happy that August is over. This has been, I just cannot tell you. Wow. Anyway, if you're listening live over at liveparanormal.com, there is no LPTV tonight. I did not turn on the camera because I'm just way too far from fresh. I didn't have a chance to shower, shave. Although I'm really thinking about, okay, I've been, my beard's kind of woolly right now. I'm really thinking, what does everybody in the chat room think about me going full on Deep South Paranormal for Scarefest? That, I'm really considering it. Just let myself go. Let the hair grow. And in 2 weeks, you'd be surprised. I'm a hairy dude. In 2 weeks, I can have a pretty good beard going. Anyway, welcome to the show, everybody. Wes Forsythe, the dude over at iHuntGhost.com. Stop by the website. You can find there, you can find my Twitter feed, my Facebook page, which Facebook I'm kind of like. I really need to do more marketing on Facebook. But, Twitter, I wear Twitter out. Although I'm probably going to be at midnight tonight trying to get all my next month's tweets programmed into the buffer. It's been that kind of month. For example, I chipped a tooth this week, and now my headphones are quit working. That is so weird. Anyway, I touched my headphones, and they quit working. Anyway, I actually chipped a tooth, so I get to go to the dentist this week, and it's not painful or anything like that. But no, it is. Still, it's there, and I catch myself rubbing it with my tongue all the time. There, my headphones are working again. Anyway, I should do my little announcement thing too. Let the theme song play out, and I'll go ahead and give you some quick calendar of events things from over at iHuntGhost.com.
Paranormal filler.
Okay. Okay, over on the calendar of events, I didn't have anything going on this weekend. Next weekend, though, if you want to go on a novice ghost hunt, if you're in the Franklin, Kentucky area and you want to go out on your first ghost hunt, or you're not part of a team and you want to work with a team for the night, got one going on over at Octagon Hall, Franklin, Kentucky. Roads to the Paranormal is next weekend. That's in Spiceland, Indiana. That's a little Paracon-type seminar thing. Brian Cano is the headliner there. You can check that out. Roads to the Paranormal, Spiceland, Indiana. Ghost Hunt, Two Ships, Manistee, Michigan. Dustin Perry, John Zaffis, Manistee, Michigan. And, of course, then the only thing we really talk about on the show anymore, the 12th through the 14th of September, the Scarefest, Lexington Convention Center, Lexington, Kentucky. Myself, Rob Sarek, and many, many, many of your live paranormal-type host people will be there to shake your hand. And, yes, if you were wondering in the chat room, I see Kevin Hales in there. Kevin, I did order my pictures to autograph. So, listeners, now, for the record, if you come up to my booth and you want a picture of me, they are going to be $1. Unless you let me autograph them, then they're free. So that's kind of the type of person I am. I ordered, did I order some new mugs? Yes, I ordered some mugs for the show. I didn't order any, I've got some more funny things to put on mugs. I think I'm going to clean out what I got. But I did order some paranormal filler mugs, some paranormal T-shirts to see how they go over versus my normal tacky logo of iHuntGhost.com with the little ghost in the crosshairs. But tonight, my guest is Rick Rose. It looks like he's already on the phone waiting on me to pick him up. He's with a group called Paranormal Warnings. I assume I got some conflicting things on that. In other words, his Facebook page says something different. But Paranormal Warnings, and I'm going to go ahead and before I even bring him on the air, I'm going to apologize to Rick. I didn't promote tonight's episode like I normally do because of all of life's little dirty emergencies that have popped up in the last 30 days. But we're going to have a good show. We're going to find out how his team works and just do some general paranormal talking. So let me go ahead and get Rick on here. Rick, welcome to the show.
How's it going, Wes? How's it going,
Wes? Ask me next week. I'm going to tell you. August. If August had a reset button, I would be punching the hell out of it. That's the type of August I've had.
Yeah, it's been pretty busy for us, too, between me moving
all that stuff,
But, well, Rick, the first question out of the gate, Paranormal Warnings. Tell me about the name of the group. That is a little different name than your typical Ghost Hunters of Smith County type thing. What is Paranormal Warnings? What brought about that name?
Well, I sat down, come up with my team. And we had already done stuff prior to that before I had my team running. And a lot of the stuff that was coming through the spirit box and all kinds of our other devices was basically the spirits warning me of what they were going to do. And it's happened ever since we come up with a name. Inside Velisco, we were warned before the stuff happened. So, and that's why I ran with it. I was like, Paranormal Warnings, that sounds awesome.
Well, that makes sense. It sounds a little more ominous than the explanation. Hope you understand that. Now, I do see, before we go any further, I do see, although I think you just decided to brand it maybe with your team name, you also do a YouTube, you're working on a YouTube series, more of a YouTube podcast, it looked like. You want to go ahead and tell everybody about that?
Yes. I run a paranormal talk show on Thursday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's basically branched off of my Facebook page. It's called Paranormal World Live. And what I do is I bring teams on and I showcase their EVPs and their awesome evidence. And it's just an hour talk show of just putting the word out there and showcasing teams. We just have a good time and sit back and BS back and forth.
Now, how many people on your own team, Paranormal Warnings, how many people do you actually, would you call your core members, the people you work with normally?
Core members, on every single investigation, we have at least me and Cher Spindler. And the reason I run it like that is because I am a new age technology guy. I love all the new stuff, like the SB7s and the Echo Vox and the Alice ITC and all this stuff, where Cher has been doing it for close to 40 years, and she's the old school. She loves her, when she brings her bag, all she brings is her EVP, her dowsing rods, and a pendulum. And that's basically what she shows up with. She's a sensitive empath, so we go that route where we start off with the littlest means possible and then kind of work our way up to the Alice ITC or the Echo Vox or the SB7 or stuff like that.
Yeah, of course, I don't know if you're aware of it. Now, I'm a big fan of dowsing rods, especially when they're in the hands of a sensitive. I have this whole thing where I've worked out based on the observations I've made in the field that some people are natural receivers, and mediums tend to fall into that category. Some people are natural pushers, meaning we can push energy around, but we're not always gifted dowsers. And then some people are a little more neutral, but most of your neutral people are still really good receivers. But it seems like every empath and medium and sensitive really, and I love to see them work with dowsing rods because it shows that they value other than what pops into their head. In other words, they want some validation most of the time. Is that kind of how she works?
Yeah, actually, the weird thing with her, and I say weird in a good way, but because I know she's probably listening right now, but the night before our investigations, when we start planning stuff, she starts getting messages the night before. Almost every place that we've been into, she has stepped foot in there, and she's knowing either the guy's name that's in there or something that's going to happen. And as we're riding up there, she talks to me, and she's like kind of giving me the loadout of the messages that she got. And she pulls off them dowsing rods, man. And I've literally seen in one place where she was holding them, and the right dowsing rod was spinning clockwise. It was just spinning. And she's just standing there looking at it, and we're just standing there, and we're like, oh, my God. And the thing, it just kept going, and we're like, what the heck's going on? But, I mean, that night was crazy in itself.
Now, working with her, have you ever got to see what I call the glow, where the dowsing rod seemed to put off their own light?
No, I have never seen that. I know the pair that I work with, she actually, Cher was like, you got to get some dowsing rods. So I went out and bought a pair, and when they come in the mail, they had glow in the tip.
Talking about that bullshit.
Yeah.
No.
You're talking about actually glowing. That'd be crazy.
I've only really experienced it at two locations. To a lesser degree at my local hotspot where I've done the bulk of my, I'll call it serious research. In other words, a place that I've been back, you know, time and time again to follow up on research. But now I was and it was actually one of the most powerful dowsing sessions I've ever been part of. We had an old nunnery, old Catholic nunnery. I think it has a fancier name. But I was in the room with people, and we were doing our dowsing, and so a couple of different people did it. And I kept... You know, we had a window. It was completely dark except for a little light coming in because I don't know if you've ever been – for some reason, nuns apparently hated windows. But the window was like, you know, up in the air where you couldn't actually look out of it. But anyway, I thought maybe it's the moonlight playing tricks on my eyes. So, you know, my eyes – and this seemed like there was kind of a fog in the room. And the rods were glowing kind of a bluish tint. And so I rub my eyes a little bit, and then I look around the room, and I catch everybody else doing the same thing. And that's when it hit me, oh, my God, this is not me imagining it. This is everybody experiencing the same thing. But now, like, it's only to any noticeable degree. I've only really noticed it in two locations. But when you see it, it makes you take a step back to think about the energy going through those rods.
Yeah, there's some really good. I know she's a great receiver on it. I mean, she talks to her spiritual guides and everything. And I mean, that night when we seen the bright one just spinning, that was the first time I'd ever seen it do something like that. And it was like somebody was there and they were just moving it, like just playing with it. And we just kind of just stood there, and I had the camera rolling, and I was almost speechless.
Now, one thing that we oh, and by the way, the night that the rods glowed, in particular, that really when they were really glowing bright blue, every video camera that we had in that room failed. Batteries didn't go dead; wasn't battery drain, but got home. Mine was the format was screwed up. Another guy said to his basically, and he kind of blamed it on where the position of some of the other cameras, but he got nothing. So we had nothing but some bad audio because there were so many of us in a little room. Every, you know, movement was recorded on the recorders. So we have, except for the six or eight of us that was in that room telling the story, we have absolutely no proof of how cool that was. Now, does she, I ought to have her on the show. Does she get the information and, well, we use dowsing rods for, it's fun to use them and talk to the ghost. But we try to use the rods to get the apparitions, the entities, interested in our conversation. Because we look at it as, you know, we're stomping around their house and we're asking these stupid-ass questions like, what's your name, when'd you die, you know, all that BS. And so they really, your typical ghost, in my opinion, wouldn't have any great impetus to talk to us. So we try to use the rods to show them how easy it is to communicate with us and hopefully draw them into the conversation. Does she use them like that, or is she more of a just trying to find out more information to validate her own experience?
Well, she starts off, I mean, we go for trying to get them involved more. If we're talking to a child, we try to make a game out of it because kids love games, so we kind of
Has she ever played the follow game? And that's where basically if you're in a big enough place to make it worthwhile, you let them lead you around with the rods right, left, straight, turn around. Does she play that?
The only thing we do in kind of regards to that is when we're setting a REM pod out or setting a camera out, she'll pull her dowsing rods out and be like, where do you want the camera? Where do you want the REM pod? And that always seems to work because the dowsing rods will point to somewhere, and we'll set the REM pod there, and it'll automatically start hitting.
You've got to do the follow game. If you're in a big enough location, I handed the rods over to a lady up to, I was in Morrison Lodge, and it's allegedly haunted, although we don't think the little girls who was leading her around, we think it was just one of the other ghosts. But basically, you just, you know, tell me which direction to walk. And we give them a set of rules, left, right, cross means stop, and apart means turn around. And they led her all over that building, and I mean literally would make have her turn at the stairs, you know, and in other words, it wasn't just, it didn't feel like it had any randomness to it. And then when we got her up in the balcony, they kept wanting her to turn around. Like that was where, that was the place that they wanted us to stay and play with them. And so you've got to try that game. Okay, now back to your own research. Now, you proudly rely heavily on so-called ITC, that's interdimensional transcommunication. So you rely a lot on the spirit box-type devices. You mentioned the spirit box. Now, I've not had any experience with the spirit box. Tell us a little bit about what you've gathered from it so far.
Oh, wow. I think the best we got out of it was up inside the Villisca Axe Murder House. The beginning of the night, we started off with the SB7 and actually had Lena and Ina Stillinger, the two little girls that were killed down in that bedroom, they actually came through. You could clearly hear somebody yell for Lena, like somebody's here to talk to you. And then they kind of disappeared, and then the guy came through, started messing with us, and kind of he started taunting me and saying my name and all the stuff, you better watch your back, and all kinds of crazy stuff. And this is like at 8 o'clock at night. So I'm like, come on, dude, we're trying to talk to the kids right now. I'm going to deal with you later type deal. And I said, who are we talking to? And he said, William. And it came straight through the SB7 box. The one thing that I did before we went to that house was I made it a point not to research any of the names, because if you got names in your mind, it's almost, I mean, you can hear something that really didn't come through.
Oh, God,
so,
I know.
Yeah, and I didn't want to be that, where I was like, oh, my God, he said William, or, oh, my God, he said the reverend's name, Reverend Kelly, or anything like that. When we heard William, I said, he said William, and I didn't think anything about it, and we kept going. Well, we took our first break, and we went out to the back barn, and I happened to pull up the newspaper that we bought. It was like a 100-year edition, and inside there was his picture. It was William Blackie Mansfield, and I just stopped, and I was like, Cher, look, and I pointed to him, and I said, he just come through. I said, I think we're talking to him, and it was like all night that we were getting burned before the kid would get scratched or stuff like that. I mean, the poor kid that was with us, I gave away a spot on Paranormal World, my Facebook page. I did a contest, and I paid up front for the full visit, and I gave two spots away, and the two kids come up. They were actually from Iowa. It worked out perfect. But the one kid, actually, he ended up getting scratched sitting right next to Cher across his lower back in a wave form, and that was like the third one. And we had actually taken him downstairs, staged him on spot, and did all the protection stuff, brought him back up, and he got hit again. So, but before all this was happening, the SB7 was saying burn and scratch and ouch and all this stuff. And then right after it would say that, Michael would start being like, my back hurts again. And he had two layers of clothing on, and I'd have to pull him back up, and you could see it on camera. And it's like fresh scratches, like a waveform going down his lower back. And then he had like a scratch, like an L, into his side for the first one. And it was just, it was crazy because we were getting this kind of stuff through the SB7 spirit box, and then it was happening. But he warned us earlier, watch your back, watch your back. I'm going to get you, and all this kind of stuff. So it was crazy.
Now, one thing that, and I talked to Reverend Kim Shaw about this. I'm not saying that the evidence isn't paranormal evidence. I'm kind of taking this in a different direction. I have come to the, I'll call it a suspicion rather than a belief, that a lot of these public locations, the places that have teams going through every night asking to talk to, you know, specific people, even though you weren't in that instance, that it is quite possible that we're not talking to the original set of ghosts, that
and
we
yes,
have other entities coming in and saying, oh, you want to talk to John? I'm John. Just in the case of Velisca, so much information walks in that door with the teams, with the psychics, with everybody that comes in, that even I can figure out how to impersonate. Have you ever suspected that, or do you really feel like you're talking to the real deal?
You bring up a really good point, because afterwards I was talking to Cher, and I said, you know, I said, the weird thing is we can't prove it was William. Because so many people have been through there. So much stuff has been brought into that place. Satanic rituals, Ouija boards, pig's blood, the Satanic Bible, and all this other stuff, that it could be something else that's in there, or something else that's a transient, is what I call it, something that's passing by. And we got the Echo Box on, and he's like, ooh, I want to talk. So, we didn't go in asking to talk to anybody except for the two little girls. We went into that bedroom trying to get them to come out. But when we got William to come through, like I said, I didn't even know he was a suspect at the time, except for the bigger guy, that the senator that was tried. I mean, everybody knows him. And everybody knows Andy because he was on Ghost Adventures. But when William came through, I said, whoa, that was William. And then we kept going. And I addressed him as William throughout that night. But, yeah, he could have been a transient. He could have been something else that was conjured up inside there. I mean, you got to think of all the different tactics other teams are using inside these public places. So it's, you got to put that in your mind that it might not be them. It could just be something that's coming past, and we got the Equivox or the Spirit Box on, and they just want to talk.
And something coming past. It may have taken up, and I'm not even talking about, you know, demonic activity. That's where Velisca is one of those places that draws that connection. But even I'm talking about ghosts that are just needy, that want the attention and set up camp. I mean, not to dismiss transient, because I do believe we get a lot of that in my local hotspot. That it's almost a cliche. It's got railroad tracks. It's got the river close to it. It's got actually water running underneath of it. It's a 100-and-some-year-old building. It's wired like a the wiring probably has asbestos. I mean, it's that, you know, it's that crappily put together. And so that's one thing when we're in there. I love the place. I get a lot of good evidence there, but I have gotten to the point where I don't believe a whole lot of what the ghosts tell me anymore.
Yeah, you got to take it with a grain of salt on most of that stuff. So, and that's one thing I pointed out when we were done. So I won't put the evidence out there. I'm going to caption what they were saying, but I can't go out and say, hey, we were really talking to him, because it could have been something just trying to frame him for the murders. I mean, nobody knows who did. Nobody was convicted. So,
a good comparison is Bobby Mackey's. Everybody goes in there, and everybody talks to Pearl Bryant. There have been more priests walk through that building than the Vatican. I am so positive that Pearl Bryant is nowhere near Bobby Mackey's music hall up here. Of course, she's a woman who had her head cut off, and it was allegedly thrown down the drain, which they can't prove because they actually think it was thrown down a drain a mile away. But anyway, and so I'm convinced that so many people go in there wanting to talk to her that one or more ghosts have come forward to say, hey, tonight I'm Pearl. So I'm glad that you've got that outlook on it. Now, working with the ITC and publishing your evidence like you do, what are you hoping to find out? What is your little team's goal? What's your end game?
Well, my biggest thing is, you know, I help private residences out too. So we follow leads to people that are being haunted. And I actually got a great video on my YouTube channel. It's The Spirit's Final Message of Love. The family had called me in because they were having sleeping problems, and a lady downloaded an iPhone app. And while she was sleeping, she caught somebody saying, you, get out of here. And it was only her and her husband inside the house. So she thought it was the guy that passed away in there. So I went up there and helped them out and spoke to them. And actually, after I left that night, I basically showed him to the light and talked to him for a while, and that all the activity stopped. But that's one of our biggest things, is we're out there looking to help. I mean, yeah, it's fun to go to the famous places. But in all reality, I don't have $430 or $1,500 to go to these places all the time. So we've kind of taken the route of looking at, like, I don't know, would you like the town legends. We're working one right now in Leavenworth, Kansas, where a guy was hanged and burnt at the stake back in the early 1900s for something he didn't do, just on the sole basis that he was a colored man inside Leavenworth, Kansas. And they basically hanged him on a stake and burned him there, like, right there in front of 2,000 people. And so we're running that way to kind of get that message out too and find out what we can do. But we've been looking at abandoned places and just seeing what's kind of stuck in there and what we can help. I mean, that's our biggest thing, is we're trying to help people cross.
Okay. Well, let's go that direction. Now, I'm with you. So don't, if I say anything that sounds a little skeptical, don't. Because that's what I do. I've actually left the research into the field. Now most of my referrals are people that are wanting, They're not wanting to know if they have activity in their house. They're wanting it to leave them alone. You know, that. So I'm with you there. Now, do you follow the conventional wisdom that ghosts, when we're talking about actual ghosts in the simplest form, do you feel like they're stuck, they've lost their way? What is your feeling on why we encounter ghosts at locations?
My thing is, I think the ones that we're talking to are ones that really didn't get the message out, basically. They have something else to say, so they're kind of sticking around. And that kind of falls in line with my Nebraska case where I helped the guy pass over with his wife. His son was a quadriplegic, and something was going on where his son couldn't make it to his funeral. I didn't find all this out until afterwards. But during the investigation, I said, well, do you got a final message before you go on? And he said, tell Jim I love him. And I looked at the lady, and I said, who's Jim? And she kind of, her head went back. She's like, that's his son. And they were trying to get that message out. That's why he was sticking around. Some of them didn't fulfill their life, or they feel like they have another message to tell somebody they love them, or they could just be stuck because something happened. They were murdered. And it just happened so instantly that the residual effect is still there.
My experience tells me that a lot of, just like you described, a lot of them, for whatever reason, don't go ahead and cross over like you're supposed to. And it seems like the longer they wait, it's almost, in order, I hate to, somebody else brought it up, I think it was a psychic medium that I had on. They just, a lot of psychic mediums just don't like the term stuck, because most of them are, they're free to leave at any time, but it's like they lose their way. It's like that, you know, we have to point out where the door is. It's something about it that the longer they wait, the more they forget the light, as you put it, and as I put it. So that's my feelings on it. It sounds like they're really close to your own.
Yeah, and that's the thing, and that's why when you're helping a spirit pass over, a lot of people will light a white candle, and they'll sit there and say, do you see the light? Do you see it? Go towards the light, and that's how a lot of people release spirits. They ask them to see that light, because, I mean, it's even when we're living, people joke around, don't go towards the light, and that could be one of the things that, I mean, if somebody was murdered in their sleep or something, I mean, they don't want to go towards the light. They still want to think they're alive, and that's a lot of stuff that we get, too. Do you know you're dead? No, and a lot of stuff has happened, so, I mean, some of them just don't know because it happened so quick.
If I got that, because this is another thing that I've just been – my experience as a pseudo-psychic, and that's, I call it that because I use mostly dowsing rods. But, you know, I'm convinced they all know they're dead. They just don't want to admit it. They're in denial. But if one of them ever – I've never actually had one tell me that they're not dead. And if I ever get one that actually tells me that, it may just start an argument, you know? Now, do you do this mostly by talking to them? Do you consider it a prayer? And how does I've done forgot her name, but your sensitive, how does she work into this?
Cher, with her being the sensitive, she basically she gets messages, but she can also sense to where they are, their demeanor. We had one private residence that we went to, and she's like, it's an older lady, and she's basically cowered down because she doesn't know where she is. She's very scared. She's lost type deal, and she doesn't know what's going on. And all of a sudden, here are me and Cher. I mean, I'm a bigger guy. I got a full beard like you were talking. I mean, that's my staple is my beard and everything. And I'm sitting here trying to talk to them, and it can be intimidating at times. So, but Cher is the talker. I mean, she can talk to them through her dowsing rods and everything. I love getting the immediate response, though. That's why I use the ITC and the Spirit Box and the Equivox and all this other stuff. I like the immediate where I can hold a conversation with them and just try to talk to them.
Okay, let me see here. Going through my notes here. Now on your residentials, are most of your residentials, would they fall into how scared are your clients? I guess that's the question. Are you dealing with people that just want to know what's going on? They want to know they're not crazy, or do you get a lot of panicky phone calls?
Actually, I it's weird to bring that up because just last week I had a lady from Lincoln, Nebraska. It's like 5 hours away from me. I'm sitting here watching TV. My phone rings, and I pick it up, and I'm like, hello? And she goes, is this Rick? And I was like, yeah, who is this? And she started going into this, like, long story, and she was almost in tears. And she's like, this stuff has been bothering me for months. Nobody will talk to me type deal. She said that when she lays in her bed, the thing gets on top of her and, like, rubs her neck and her lips. And the night before she called me, it was actually doing something to her pillow, and it was punching her in the side of the head. And she's like, I'm on the verge of just leaving my house and leaving everything inside here. And so that was the very first scared call I got. And I was like, lady, you're almost 6 hours away. And I said, let me see what I can do. And she was blowing my phone up for like 3 days straight. And I gave her some pointers, like to put sea salt around her bed because they say that helps. So I said, put some salt in your pockets, put it around your bed until we can figure anything else out. And she said that was the first night she ever actually got sleep. I've never been inside her, so I don't know if it was a mental thing for her or what. But most of my calls are people are experiencing stuff, and they want it gone or they want answers. Kearney, Nebraska, the one where I had this final message, I mean, the lady caught the EVP, and she knew exactly who it was and what was going on. She wanted help getting him to the other side because she was afraid that he didn't like her because she moved into his place that he built, and she was sleeping on the bed that he passed away in, which is creepy enough in itself. But so I kind of – I went up there and just helped her out. The other stuff, yeah. I've had one where we went in there, and within an hour and a half we were out because it was basically the dad – was living with her, and he's like, just to shut you up, I'm going to call these guys. And there was nothing going on. So we were like, all right, you have a nice day. Thank you for letting us come in. And we drove all the way back. But most of the times it's people just wanting the answers.
Now, just out of curiosity, okay, the one you didn't find anything going on, do you feel it was really mental, or do you think they'd watch too much TV?
Watch too much TV. That is exactly okay. What it was. Because when I was talking to her before all this, and like before we went up there, she was like, my kids watch Ghost Adventures. She kept bringing up Ghost Adventures and Ghost Hunters and The Haunting and all this stuff. And I was like, oh my God, here we go. But she was giving me this story that I was like, we really got to go check this out. So we drove an hour. And when I pulled up, I specifically told her 2 weeks before that if there are any underage kids, I need them out. I won't do anything with kids around. Anybody under 18, they either got to be outside of the house or we're not doing anything. And when I pulled up, knocked on the door, her little son answers the door. And next thing you know, he's asking me for my autograph and everything. And I'm like, whoa, I'm just like a low guy that I'm just doing this for answers and type stuff. I'm no celebrity. But I think that's what it was they watched too many shows and she heard something that might have been outside and thought it was downstairs in her basement.
Give me your honest opinion. Do you feel like the TV shows are a good thing or a bad thing for the field?
Good and bad.
Now the genre kind of spread out. Let me give you another out here. The genre has spread out now between paranormal reality versus recreation versus just start it from there. How do you feel about the television and the effect it's had on the field?
I think it's good to the fact that it's opened up the eyes to a lot of people. But on the other side, the flip side, now everybody is starting up teams or going into these places and making their videos and hoping that they're going to make money off of it. And a lot of people just don't realize that this isn't just an expensive hobby. I mean, you're going to dump a lot of money into the equipment, and if you're going to go check off these big, huge, like the Missouri Penitentiary and Villisca Axe Murder House and Bobby Mackey's and all that, you're paying money for it. So it's not something that I'm looking to make money off of. I mean, I'm doing it for the answers, and I just, me personally, I love the creepy activity. So you give me an asylum, I'm going to go in there, and I'm not going to back down from spirits. I mean, that's just how I am. I let them know that I'm running the show. So, and in fact, it's opened up eyes, but then again, it's got just people that, and kids, that's one thing I hate, is seeing on the internet these kids with YouTube channels. You got little 8-year-olds running around trying to talk to spirits. And I'm like, oh, my God, where are your parents? But they've seen it on TV. They think, oh, Zach Bagans does it. I can do it. And it's going to get people hurt.
Yeah, it which I, my team, when I was active in the field, I actually had the same rule you did, that if there's any children, I don't think I drew the line at 18, but I, because, you know, I understand teenagers and their curiosity, but as far as, especially smaller children, my big thing was I didn't want to add to the any confusion that they might already be experiencing. Because, you know, I go in and I do my pseudo-psychic thing, and then I'm talking to walls, and sometimes I don't provoke, but sometimes I do get belligerent if I think somebody's back-sassing me. And so that was my biggest fear, was myself making an impression on the youth. Now, does your team, now when you do, do you do your background research on a location? I know you said you didn't do anything for Villisca, but, you know, so I'll, we might split this into residential versus public. But do you do much research ahead of time to know a little bit about the history of the location, or do you kind of save that for after the fact?
Well, I do a little bit before, but the good thing is with Sherrigan, she works at a historical museum, so she has all the records from the newspapers and everything from, like, way back in the day. So she loves that stuff. So basically she'll come back. She's like, oh, my God, you won't believe what I found. She goes through that stuff. She volunteers for the museum, and they got all that stuff there. So that's one of the routes that we take, is she looks through all that stuff. But I also use, with me, I was in the military for 9 years, and I was a counterintelligence agent. So I worked a lot of terrorism cases, espionage cases, and all that. So I use that to my benefit, too, in research. I mean, when we started our cases up there, we would look up on the subject, and we'd find all the information out that we could on that person just through, like, the public internet. So I do that on this side, where I'll go through and I'll research and I'll pop in some stuff and I'll check out websites and, like, Pipple.com and all that stuff to find out what has happened at that residence. But afterwards is when I do the vast majority of my research, when I'm going through everything and listening to the audio and doing all that.
Okay. I'm going to put you on hold just a minute. We're going to play a couple of commercials, and then we'll be back and finish out the show.
Here's Donnie.
They're here.
SpinnerFest, the largest horror and paranormal convention in the United States, returns to the Lexington Center in Lexington, Kentucky this September.
Your gateway to the ultimate fan experience. Meet over 40 of your favorite horror and paranormal celebrities. For tickets and info, visit thescarefest.com.
SpinnerFest this September at the Lexington Center in Lexington, Kentucky. Be brave if you dare, but don't come alone.
September 12th. 13th and 14th. Convention coverage by LiveParanormal.com.
Coyote Chris Sutton.
Spiritual and paranormal solutions. Spiritual readings and advisement.
Assistance with paranormal issues.
Paranormal investigations.
Shamanism.
Coyote Chris will be speaking and doing readings at the Scarefest Horror and Paranormal Convention in Lexington, Kentucky, September 12th through the 14th. Learn more at www.coyotechris.com. And we're back with Rick Rose of Paranormal Warnings here on Paranormal Filler. Now, Rick, now how long have you been active in the field?
Active in the field, I started my team up January 2014. I had done stuff prior to that, dating all the way back to my teenage years with seances and the Ouija board. I know people are cringing right now, but we did all that kind of stuff. But doing it, I wouldn't say professionally, but documented, it's been for almost the last year.
I don't cringe necessarily. I know a lot of people do when I hear the word seance, because after talking to Reverend Tim Shaw, a properly held seance is really just as legitimate as 90% of what we do in the field. It's when you have a bunch of teenagers walk out, you know, and it's when it's a party that it scares me. The reason I ask you that, have your views on the paranormal, do you feel like they've evolved, or are you pretty much, do you hold the same belief structure when you got interested in it?
I still hold the same beliefs. I mean, I know they're out there, but my thing is I try to debunk stuff too. So stuff's happening. I mean, I'm not going to automatically go, ooh, that's paranormal because they said this. I mean, because not everything is paranormal. So that's one of my biggest things, is we always try to find something that would kind of debunk it first before. And I've gotten caught up in the moment and, like, said stuff over the camera, which it's up on my YouTube channel. I put it up there just to show that it happens when you're calling out light anomalies and all this stuff. But after we went through the video, we noticed it was just dust. But, I mean, I was like, hey, it's educational. I'm going to put it up there type deal. So a lot of people just, they need to know that not everything is paranormal. I mean, then that you can explain.
Now, this can be a public or private location, but do you have a favorite location that you feel has really given you, for any reason, you can tell us why it's your favorite location, but I want to know what your favorite location you've been to is.
Well, here recently, the information that we've been getting out of the Burnt at the Stake series, I'm working on the second video right now, but we've been there 3 or 4 times. The names and all that stuff that we're getting there, and it's an outside type deal, so we're doing an outdoor encounter. So we can't really use that much EVP, but that's one of my favorite spots because we keep going back to it because we're building up the information, and Cher's doing a research on the guy back in the day, and we're building that story up, and eventually we want to have almost like a full-length documentary put out on this place. That's one of my favorite spots, but, I mean, the other ones, I love going into the creepy abandoned places, so... I mean, I'm always on the lookout for something that kind of catches our attention, and we're following one of the leads here in town where a guy was working on a house that's right down the road from me, and I guess he was laying on the floor getting into a cubbyhole, and something grabbed his foot and pulled him back. And this is one of them houses where they can't keep residents in there. So everybody that rents this place, they take off within a couple of months. And so the guy is trying to figure out what the heck's going on. So we're trying to let us go in there to check that place out, because driving past it every day, I'm like, oh, my God, that place is just, it's calling my name type deal. But my favorite place right now is the Burn at the Stake series.
And one last question here before we get to your plugs. Do you see, tell me the bright spot you see in the field, and tell me the biggest problem you see in the field.
I think the biggest problem we have is people getting into it and not knowing what they're getting themselves into. I ran into that problem because everybody's heard about the Velisca Axe Murder House, but we didn't know exactly what was going to happen. And even the car ride up there, me and Cher were like all giddy because we're going into a famous spot. But the car ride back, we were almost pitch quiet. We were like, wow, we knew stuff was going to happen. We just didn't know to that degree. I mean, my cell phone being thrown at me on camera, the scratches, the guy coming through the spirit box and all that. But so that's the biggest problem that we have in this field is everybody wants to get into it and they want to chase ghosts and go to these places, but they don't know the dangers involved with it. Even with getting into an abandoned place, I mean, you don't know what the structure is in that place. So you could be walking up the stairs and fall through. But they just want to go for the creepy factor, and they're going to end up getting themselves hurt. The brightest thing, I mean, I think the biggest thing is everything, it's opening up the eyes to people that don't believe. There's more and more evidence coming out that people are putting public, because back in the day, I mean, if you believed in ghosts, you were the crazy guy. There ain't no way. There ain't no ghosts. But now, with all this advancement in technology and all that, I mean, people are putting out more and more videos. But then again, on the flip side, people are putting out fake videos. So you got to be able to tell a difference between the two. And technology is helping us, but it's hurting us. Because it's easy to Photoshop, it's easy to do this stuff with the camera and go into Adobe Final Cut Pro and put your own effects in there and put your fillers, as they call them, in the professional TV, which I had a lady that worked for a TV show. I won't put it out because I'm going to tell you what she told me, and I'm not going to get you in trouble or get me in trouble, but she said, you need more fillers. And I was like, what do you mean? And she's like, when I did the editing for this show, they were fillers. She said, a couple of that stuff happened, but she goes, most of that stuff you hear, it's just fillers. So it's that kind of stuff that's hurting us. There's a lot of people just, they want to fake the evidence.
I don't see as much fake as I see just really, 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 really poor interpretation, but I am with you on that. Let's go ahead now and get your plugs in before the end of the show. Just got a couple of minutes left. Tell people where to find you, your YouTube, your Facebook. Go ahead and plug the hell out of yourself, Rick.
You can find my YouTube channel at youtube.com/paranormalwarnings. And my Facebook is not a Paranormal Warnings Facebook, but it's facebook.com/paranormalwarnings. I run Paranormal World, which is basically I just put photos out there and ask for opinions. It's just a Facebook page that I run. And then Thursday nights you can find me on my internet show through No Whiners, and that's every Thursday at 9 o'clock we run it. It's nowhiners2.caster.fm, and that is me.
Okay, Rick, thank you so much for coming on the show. Now I'm going to unceremoniously put you on hold because that's the way I do, because I have to produce my own show here. But thank you so much, Rick, for joining us tonight.
Well, thank you for having me on, man.
And thanks, everybody, for tuning in. This has been Paranormal Filler. Tune in next week. I've got Patty Starr of the Scarefest is my guest. So have a good night, everybody.
Thank you for joining us on History FM Radio on liveparanormal.com and history.fm. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com. The only interactive social chat room supported by full interactive media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.